You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
We've spent about the last 5, almost 6 months working very closely with the museum production team in realising the visions for the River of Language exhibition, which is really about sharing, showcasing, highlighting and learning, you know, our Victorian Aboriginal languages.
This installation comes in a specific context, a very timely context of the International Year of Indigenous Languages.
Oh, absolutely. This is particularly why it's so exciting to, and why we took up the challenge of trying to mount an exhibition in what might sound like a long lead-in time, but in reality, 6 months isn't a huge lead-in time to produce the work that we have. And it is International Year of Indigenous Languages, and VACL is a partner with UNESCO in that year, like as well as the museum and other people, other groups. So yeah, it's very exciting for us to be able to do that, and the 25 years of VACL. So there's this huge kind of very exciting time to be able to be doing it.
Now, Aboriginal languages and language revival is something you've been working on for many years, even co-writing an academic book on the subject.
Yeah, absolutely, Bertrand. Language reclamation and revitalisation is very deep research work and deep cultural work. I'm very fortunate to be walking in the footsteps of my father, who started our Gunditj Mara language journey in the early 1990s. And he then, you know, kind of trained me into that and handed that responsibility onto myself to continue that work. And I've been doing that in the communities, you know, for around 20 years. I'm particularly focused on grammar rebuilding so that I can converse, I can speak fluently, because at the moment we have words, but we can't really have conversations because there's not enough grammar. So there's all this, yeah, it's not just words. Words are very important, of course, because those words hold the meanings, they hold all of that cultural knowledge. But if you can't put them together, you can't learn to use them again in an everyday context, because we're using language in ceremonial context now, but in everyday use it's a bit harder because we don't have that grammar. So I find it very, it's really rewarding to be doing that work personally as a, you know, mother tongue custodian, but, you know, obviously for our children and our grandchildren in the future, because language is central to our cultural identity, and so important in strengthening, because we all know about the stories since invasion and the impacts and the, well, we were talking today about how many languages there are in the world, and that we're losing a language every 2 weeks, and all of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander languages are endangered, you know, and we have the oldest languages in the world. So it's really, really kind of critical and an imperative for us to reclaim, which is something which is central, you know, to who we are. It tells us about our belonging and our laws for living and those relationships.
And again, I have to say that when we are talking about languages, it's not just talking about words. There's also an underlying concept of empowerment.
We want for all of our mob, and our mobs, while we've spent many decades fighting for rights and, you know, getting housing and jobs and education, but everybody wants their language and they want it back, and for that empowerment. It's very healing for people when they reconnect with language and cultural practices and knowledges. So I can't be more excited or passionate. It's a passion that drives me to keep doing, and being involved at VACL gives us that vehicle to, you know, lobby the government for support and resourcing, and to implement in response to community needs what they're wanting to do in their language reclamation journey.
Now, you're running the project with the museum, Melbourne Museum. It's a joint project between the museum and VACOL. Tell us more about VACOL and this partnership.
The Victorian Aboriginal Corporation for Languages is the state peak body representing our 44 language groups. And, you know, we call it VACOL for short, one of those acronyms. We have plenty of them. So we have a great partnership and relationship that's been ongoing for a long time with the museum. So I think the museum, yes, are in for the long haul. And today, Shannon Falkhead, the head of the Indigenous department here, spoke about the museum's transformational phase that they're in centering Indigenous knowledges and practices and our ways of knowing, being and doing in the centre of all that the museum does. So they're in transformation in that way, and we're supporting and working with them closely in a lot of those areas. And Brendan and myself have been also very closely associated with the museum with the Yulinj group, which is the Yulinj advisory group, which is a knowledge group who advises the museum not just on exhibitions but across all aspects in the museum, particularly now in this transformational mode. So yeah, I think the museum is making that commitment, and they're still learning how, what does that mean, how do we do that?
At this launch, we've seen a lot of kids and their families. It's really a family-friendly event. Now, will the kids be brought along the project through the schools and educational materials with the conversation and the work continue in these other areas?
Well, with the event today, we had cultural activities, because language is culture, it's living, and so we want people to understand, like we've talked about, it's not just words. So we have activities for families to join in and to understand from our own mob but mainstream that language is living, and it's in weaving, it's in dance, it's in story, it's in song, it's in the way we communicate with each other. So for VACOL, we're in our transformational mode too, in our next 25 years vision and beyond, because we're thinking transgenerationally. But the next 25 years, where do we want to be? And we're focusing on that living legacy. So we do lots of digital work now in apps and books and things, but we want the language to live back in communities, on country and living in people. It's no good just having, you know, digital apps, and my great-grandchildren have still got to learn it from an app and not from living with it.
Anything we haven't covered that you'd like to add to the conversation?
No, but thank you. That was good, because living legacy is like, for me, my, you know, and other Aboriginal people would know, the work that's been happening in trying to gain equity, recognition and acknowledgement, you know, as sovereign people. It's been a long fight. People have fought and died defending our country. Our elders and old people have fought for, you know, human rights. Right to speak our language. And now that we are fortunate to be in this position to be carrying that forward, we have that responsibility to take that forward.
Yeah, this looks like a very beautiful project that will have a really very big following for the next few months. But where to from now?
VACOL are always looking at new ways to help language custodians and language to get out there, and sharing it with mainstream or the broader community is always a good way to keep language alive and get people on board to support you. So different strategies, like a day where everyone learns to say a word. We've just been talking to 3KND, looking to do that through the radio, where we can have some podcasting or a vox pop where everyone learns a word in a small little moment. The other big thing that we're working on, I was going to keep it secret, but is we want to do a big language bombing project, where we get people to take their language, like yarn bombing, you know, that yarn bombing they do with the knitting thing. Well, we want to do language bombing, We want to set the first language bombing event, the world premiere of it. We were going to do it today, but we ran out of time and we couldn't organise that properly. I think it's going to need a bit more thinking through, but this is one of the ideas that has percolated and grown out of this exhibition that we've done, is we're going to do a language bombing. Because we're going to use social media, we think, to do someone doing language bombing and then send it out to show the people how they can do it. Because we don't want to do graffiti, we don't want to damage the environment of buildings or nature. We don't bush or trees or that to be hurt in the process. And so we've got to think through some of these things and how we're going to do it, because we have to get the language out to the people so they can language bomb. Because not all our languages have words for cars or doors or windows or buildings. So there's a bit to think about, because we got very excited and we were going to launch it today, but we haven't got the structure of how we're going to do it. So keep your eyes and ears open for language bombing.
sbs.com.au